Welcome to the RepChat Inside Stories series, conversations with creative talent and creative entrepreneurial businesses. We discover the inside stories that inspire and motivate creative people to do what they do.
Hello, this is Rebecca Dixon from RepChat Inside Stories, RepCat Creations. Our guest today is artist Ricardo Alice from Southern California. Hello, Ricardo, and it is an immense pleasure to meet you.
Hello, thank you so much.
So, Ricardo, our project manager, Eileen Scandifio, contacted you because she spotted your work on your website. Tell me if I'm wrong, ricardoalice.bigcartel.com.
Yeah, that's my shop URL.
Your store, yeah? And apart from the prints of your drawings, you have a beautiful collection of apparel, hats, pins, stickers, and goods with your drawings imprinted on them. And the common theme is birds. And I think the only word to describe your work is breathtaking. Your drawings are truly stunning, and the detail and expressions are out of this world. So today we want to learn, who is Ricardo Alice, and where did you start your art career?
Absolutely. I've been learning that myself. I've been drawing since I was an infant, really, maybe preschool. I remember, you know, my mom has finger paintings and that sort of thing. That said, I think like every toddler draws.
Children can actually are artists, but you see the special ones at that age.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So yeah, my mom always saw something in me. She knew that I liked to draw, so she encouraged it. And so I just grew up drawing a ton, and it was my favorite thing to do. Then when I got into adolescence, late middle school, sort of slowed down on the drawing. I got a little self-conscious, as we do at that age. And I started skateboarding. I started learning the guitar, playing music, and I got into a band. Not a very good band, but
oh wow.
And then, and then in high school, I stopped drawing. I maybe drew a little, a couple of drawings throughout high school, maybe two, but not like the work I make now at all, right?
So there was a break. There was a break. Absolutely. You haven't always been somebody who's always been, you know, with your pen in hand.
No way. And wow. So that was about 4 years. And then I got into college. And I went to school in San Diego at the University of California, San Diego.
Very nice.
And I wasn't drawing until my first quarter ended. So in December, I went to a friend's house and he was drawing. And I was like, oh, I haven't drawn in a while. I think I'll pick up a pencil. And I made a drawing on, loose leaf notebook paper, blue line, you know.
Your regular writing paper.
Right. Yeah. And I drew a video game character and I thought it was kind of good. So I was like, and fun. Enjoyed it. So I was like, I think I'm going to keep doing this. So I made another that day with him. And by the way, it wasn't good. Like, consider it looking back.
yeah. But
I think about that a lot. And I guess we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
So anyway, I make this drawing and I'm like, okay, like this was cool. Like I liked this and it turned out well. So I keep doing it. And at the time I think my major was undeclared in college. So I took AP calculus at the end of high school and I loved it. But I got into college and I had this professor who her English wasn't very clear and I struggled to listen and pay attention and I wasn't getting it. And it was Calc 2. So it was like this extension of AP Calc. And I failed my first midterm, primarily because I had no interest and I didn't study and I didn't want to do well. I was just like, whatever, I'm over this, you know, and I struggle with attempting to do things that I'm not good at, but I'm quite motivated by this idea of being good. When I'm not good, I get really discouraged. So anyway,
so that's the reward. You need the satisfaction of feeling that what you're doing is you're doing well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in anything. And that comes back to my mom encouraging me. She's always encouraged me in everything. And, you know, you're the most handsome, you're the smartest, you're the funniest, you're the best, blah, 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 you're my son. And it's awesome, beautiful. Right? Like, you should have a mom be that way. But it's definitely hampered me in certain ways in terms of my motivation. You know, whether it's determining whether my motivation is intrinsic or extrinsic. So anyway, I get to college, I start drawing again. I switch my major to studio art, painting and drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the rest is history story, right? Like, I just never stopped drawing after that. It's definitely been a roller coaster of ups and downs and
ebbs and flows, you know,
ebbs and flows for sure. Because there's been times for sure where I felt like giving up and that I'm worthless and nobody likes me and why am I doing this? And that's why
I'm very honest, Ricardo, very honest. And so why birds, Ricardo? That's the, you know, obviously begs the question, because it seems that I presume you're very fascinated with birds from your store and your prints. Why absolutely. Birds?
So go back again to college. I was, what was it? I believe 2014, around then is when I really started taking my art seriously. That's my first gallery I showed in San Diego. And I did some like DIY space stuff at like sort of like a punk venue in Temecula near me, which is in just north of San Diego County. And anyway, for the gallery show, it was the first show I did. I drew like a carnival kind of mask. You know what I'm talking about? The porcelain mask with the lace and the stuff. Yeah, so I drew that, and so not me, right? Like, that's not, but it was ink, so the process was similar to what I do now. But then the second show I was in with them, I made this sort of double diptych where it was two birds, both different types, and they had a eyeball growing out of their chest. Super creepy. I was following who inspired that. I think it was Stephen Russell Black. He's another artist on Instagram. Really good.
I'll look him up. Yeah.
Yeah. But I drew these and I was happy with at least half of it. The other half I don't like to remember. But anyway, that was the first bird I'd ever drawn or even attempted to draw. And I liked it. And it was fun. And there's just this sort of unspoken, like unwritten fascination with birds.
So I had this idea maybe of you out in the fields and with it, where that was all in your head.
Yeah.
The detail that you have is amazing. The feathers, the claws, the beaks, the eyes.
Yeah.
Do you observe birds?
So it's funny. I get a bit self-conscious because I look at other like, you know, bird artists and I see that they're like ornithologists in a way, like they're like making these biological illustrations and they're really accurate and they know the species and the Latin names and all this stuff, you know. And I'm really self-conscious because that's not me. I don't bird watch. I don't go out in nature and like sit there for hours.
That's very interesting.
I don't do any of that. And I'm a big nerd in a lot of ways. I'm very like academic minded, and it's mostly an aesthetic thing. Like when I see a bird in person, like we have a bird feeder in the backyard and they're, you know, flying all over in the morning. I'll sit by the window for a few minutes and just watch them.
So you do watch them.
I do watch them if I see them in person, but it's just by happenstance. I don't like seek out birds, you know, like I have a good bird radar. Like if we're driving and there's a hawk on a telephone wire, like I'll see it for sure when my wife maybe misses it.
So you spot the birds, and you also obviously have a very good memory.
I get a little nervous when someone wants to commission me for something. Like I've had a few commissions rolling in, and if I see that they're particularly interested in birds, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to like mess this bird up for you. They're like, I know a little bit about them. Spot in that place, that's wrong. You know, I don't want that to happen. But like I'm drawing a barn owl for a girl who has a barn owl as a pet, and because
there's
of
a big
my
ones,
style,
aren't they? They're quite big, the barn owls.
Yeah, and I just because of my style, and like that's what she wants, right? She came to me for a reason. It's not going to be like a a pet portrait, you know what I mean? It's not going to be identical to her bird, and that stresses me out. So I hope she likes it. But anyway, yeah, I'm not an ornithologist by any means, and you're right, what you said a moment ago is it is all in my head.
Yeah, and you don't purport to be an author. It's something else you do, and that's actually quite clear. How does a drawing start? Could you tell us something about the process and how you get that detail that you get? Yeah. Is that a difficult question? I don't know.
No, it's one that I've thought about a lot, especially recently, because my work has taken a turn in the last year and even in the last couple months. Mm-hmm. The process used to be that I would make a sketch quite detailed. Like every mark needs to be in its place because I don't know where to go, right? And I need to be able, as I'm starting it, to erase and fix things and, right?
Is that quite like an outline, Ricardo?
Yeah. So imagine my drawings with just pencil, like every line in pencil, and then I'd trace over them. That was the old process, right?
Okay.
And so I had a guide, I had a path to follow.
Yeah. That makes sense to me as a
amateur. Yeah. And it tells of a lack of confidence, right? As I've reflected on my own process.
Mm-hmm.
I lacked confidence because I didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, okay, I need to put every mark in place so that I can know what to do, because I'm terrified that I'll mess up. And if I mess up, this goes back to my, my motivations, not good. And I'm really hard on myself and I feel really upset. So every mark's in its place. I know where to go. I have this map that I've made for myself. And since it's in pencil, I can erase if I don't like something. You know what I mean? But now it's been 7 years of like really taking this seriously. And about that much time doing like ink work specifically. So now I start with a pretty loose sketch. The composition's all there. Like I know exactly, like this is where the eye and the beak and this foot's going to be this way. And, you know,
your ideas are already in place. I suppose.
Right. Yeah. But I don't spend that much time, putting every detail in. If this were a video format, I could like grab a drawing.
Yeah. In fact, what you have done. In fact, on your Instagram, we can see you in action, and I would invite our listeners to go to your Instagram page, which is, if you could just tell us where your Instagram is.
Yeah, it's @RicardoAliceArt.
Good, @RicardoAliceArt, and we will mention that at the end of the podcast too. It's very nice to see the artist in action.
Thank you. Yeah, well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because in those videos, you can see that I'm not tracing over anything.
Yes.
Someone left a comment the other day and said, this is freehand? And I was like, yeah, it is. But only because I've worked up to that. Like I've earned that, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's the hard work.
And it wasn't an easy road to get to. So it took a lot of time to be able. I remember looking at artists who would just do this like scratch, like whatever, you know, it barely looked like anything. And then they did these incredible details over it. I'm like, how do you know what you're doing?
I think it was very interesting what you said about your confidence, that you linked that structure that you needed to the lack of confidence. So you also grew actually emotionally and inside yourself. We'll go on to naming your prints and your drawings. You've kind of personified them. That's how I would say it. You've given them an expression or an emotion in words, such as comfort or the best way out is always through. They're delightful. Maybe you could talk to us about this idea to name them in these very, with emotions.
Yeah. So I think a couple things go into that. Try to keep them in order. I grew up watching cartoons a lot, almost excessively. And today still, like, and I love it. I love cartoons. So they excite me, and they're fantastic. In cartoons, thinking about it now, like they anthropomorphize, right? Like cartoons are typically talking animals with human characteristics. And then second to that, I am a big music fan, constantly listening to music. Like you said, it's accompanying my reels and things on Instagram.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm always listening to music while I'm drawing, and I like a lot of very lyrical, sort of lyrically intricate music. Mm-hmm. And whenever I'm drawing, I'm listening to those words and I'm thinking about it, reflecting on it. And a lot of the titles for my work are borrowed from lyrics and songs that I...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Or like the one you just mentioned, the Best Way Out Is Always Through. I think that's a Robert Frost poem that I...
There's also The Birds and the Houses. The Bird with the House on Its Head. I think that one... There are various ones, actually. One that's called, says, it's Someone Is Watching You. That's fantastic. And The Bird with the House in Its Clutches, its claws, maybe we could call it. Mm. Do they also come from the music?
I think it's connected. It's, but maybe more to the cartoons. And by that, I mean sort of the nostalgia of them and the, sort of yearning for childhood. Mm-hmm. And I started drawing those houses. I started out drawing them rather detailed. So like an actual floating house, with an address number and a door and, all the stuff. Uh-huh. And over time, they've become more and more simplified. At the iteration that it's in now, they have this just really simple doorway and like no other details, very blank, boxy. Just before the iteration, just before this one, they were birdhouses. They started as purely aesthetic. There was no rhyme or reason. I was just like, floating house. That's kind of cool. As most of my stuff, it comes from my brain. I'm just like, that's a cool image. And then I put it on paper. And then after time, I'm like, maybe I'm listening to a song about something. And I'm like, this kind of feels, you know what I mean? Like there's a drawing on my page. It's pretty easy to find. It's a kestrel, small falcon. Mm-hmm. And it's holding a sort of flower stem in its...
Yes, I think I know which one you're talking about. And what's it called? You've called it...
I titled that one Until You're Better. So that one, I just drew the image. And then I was looking at this other illustrator that I really love. His name's Vanya Zoravliov. It's Russian. Mm-hmm. I believe he lives in London.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I was looking at his stuff. And I was like, I should borrow from him a little bit. This would improve my work. So I did that flower. And anyway, the work meant nothing, as I was making it. But then over time toward the end, I was listening to some music, thinking about my situation, day to day. And my Nana right now, my grandmother, she's, at a care facility because she broke her hip a few weeks ago. She's doing a lot better now though. So I was just thinking about that. And, I was thinking about just this idea of like, giving to people and community and giving to each other, right? And helping each other out. And this idea of this bird sort of making this offering until mm-hmm. you're better, right? I'll give to you until you're better.
Yeah, beautiful.
And anyway, that came to me after the fact, right? So it wasn't like, I'm going to draw this because it means this. And, that's not all in place at the beginning, which I kind of like about my process.
Yeah. And that's really what I was wondering about. Are you a full-time artist, Ricardo?
Not by any means. No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I am a fifth grade teacher. That is, I don't know how that would translate to.
It's primary school, elementary.
There you go.
School.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I do for a living. I actually just started doing it. I just finished my credential program in May, and just got hired as a fifth grade teacher in August. So it's my first year. But a big reason for that is because art was not paying the bills.
Indeed.
Yeah. So that is what I do full time. And then I don't want to say on the side I make art, because I make art quite a bit.
it's not a sideline. It's a very, very important part of your life.
Right. And it's by no means a hobby.
So you can say they're parallel things you do maybe then.
Absolutely. And I wanted to say, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. So I'm teaching now, and I'm making more money than I've ever made, because I've always just, been an artist and worked at Starbucks or, whatever.
Yeah.
And I've made a little bit of money here and there from my artwork. I start making this money, right? And there's more stability, and we're taken care of. My needs are met, right? And I have a little bit extra too. Okay. I decide about a month ago that I'm going to take a little bit of money, not very much, like $150, and I'm going to invest it in a promotion on Instagram.
Brilliant.
That was at the beginning of October.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had 1,400 followers at that point.
Wow.
Yeah. So I invested this 150. It's going well. I make that money back because someone bought some artwork for two pieces, I think, for like $400, not very much. And I was like, okay, this was worthwhile, you know?
It works.
So I invest another, I think I did like 350 or something. I put 200 on one piece and 150 on another. And it's been just, I think exactly a month today. I think it was like September 30th that I started that first promotion. And I'm at almost 7,000 followers. So I've gotten almost 6,000 followers
from
investing that money in a little bit. And that's something I was always afraid to do because I was like, well, what if it doesn't work and I've wasted my money? And it's
really scary.
So anyway, I was saying to my wife that it's no coincidence that the comfort that teaching has brought me financially has been reflected in this productivity and the success of my artwork. Cause like things have not gone as well ever as they're going now. I've got commissions going in and
you can be more serene in your artwork too. So that's fabulous.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't function like a lot of other artists. I know some artists are like the pressure's on and I'm not going to eat tonight if I don't make this. And that's not me. I can't do it. I don't make drawings when I'm stressed. It's not what I do when I need to relax. I'm more of a like watch TV and eat some snacks kind of guy. So yeah, it's a big help to just feel safe.
Yeah, so very, very nicely put. Do you think that as a teacher, Ricardo, that the school curriculum gives space for art in the United States of America?
Absolutely. There's especially at lower levels, there's a lot of time made. A report cards were due next Wednesday, and there's a space for visual arts or visual Brilliant. And performing arts grade. That said, I was a substitute teacher for 3.5 years, and I would, you know, be most classes I would be in, kids would say, oh, can I draw when I'm done with my work? And I would say, yes. And they would say, they would be so excited, right? They would celebrate. Mm. And I'm like, why are you so stoked about that? And they're like, oh, our teacher doesn't let us draw. And I'm like, that's criminal. What?
Yeah,
like, why?
Absolutely.
Doesn't make any sense. Or can I listen to music while I work? Our teacher doesn't let me. And I'm like, what are you, why? You know what I mean? So in a lot of ways, like, no, it doesn't make space. That's on, I think, maybe the teacher's end and their pressure there under.
And seeing it as being maybe playing, a waste of time. Scientific subjects are more important than the art and the music. They're sometimes not given the same weight, which I do agree with you is criminal, absolutely criminal. What then for Ricardo Alice today would you say is the most rewarding aspect of your work?
That's a really good question. I want to say on sort of a psychoanalytical level, like I mentioned, it's that sort of like, oh, I'm pleasing my mom kind of thing, you know, not like I'm literally pleasing her, but just like when I make something good, and not good by like this objective standard, just when I think it's good, right? When it pleases me, I feel good. I feel like someone's patting me on the back.
Yeah.
I feel whole. I feel excited. I feel energized. When I make a certain mark and it's clean, or when a series of marks comes together and looks really nice. I think that's the part that keeps me going. But second to that, it's people like you reaching out to me
and
caring. I think second to like the intrinsic, I just love the process motivation and reward. It's people like you that leave a nice comment or say something nice or pay money to have my scribbles hanging in your homes. Like that stuff is so cool to me and kind of bewildering. It's this sort of pinch me thing.
Yeah, that's the acknowledgement for what you do, that it is something valuable and people value it. Yeah. And when people buy your work, I think that says a lot when somebody buys your work. What are you working on now, Ricardo? What's your new project?
I've actually, again, much to my surprise, had a string of commissions roll in. So I'm going to be working on those for a while. The one of the barn owl that I mentioned, I'm working on, it's about maybe a quarter of the way through. And then I have a merch design that I'm working on of a crow that I'll be drawing. And then someone just messaged me last night about drawing a great blue heron, which is exciting because those birds are phenomenal. I saw one in person the other day at the lake. And then another person messaged me about a commission this morning. So
you're very busy, Ricardo. It seems
you're
you're very busy, which shows that you are becoming very successful, which we're very happy to know that. So from that, maybe you could tell our listeners again where they can find you. It's ricardoalice.bigcartel.com. Is that right? Your store?
Yeah, so that's my store. My portfolio site is ricardoalice.com. It's not much of a functional place, but you can go there to check out some of my favorite work. I curated a little more than other things. Ricardoalice.bigcartel.com is my shop,
print store,
things like that. And then my Instagram is at Ricardo Alice Art. And that is my bread and butter. That's my main hub.
Interesting.
Communicate with me and see what I'm really doing day to day.
Okay, so that's at Ricardo Alice Art.
Yep.
That's your name. Okay, so, well, Ricardo, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for talking to us. It's been a pleasure. And as I said before, we hope to be featuring you also in our magazine later on. Thank you so much and goodbye, Ricardo.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the RebChat Inside Stories series. We hope you enjoyed it. To feature your inside story, contact us at www.rebcatcreations.com or follow us on Instagram at RebCatCreations.